well as collectively to reset on a regular basis, reevaluate, recalibrate, and then redefine where we're going for the next step towards Krishna. So over to you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hari Bol. Please accept my very, very, very affectionate greetings, all of you. And let us start by chanting the pranam mantras to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. And everyone please, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. First of all, I would like to express my gratitude and even full support to the idea of resetting the Pandava Sena mentorship system. I think at the outset when we spoke about it with Naveen Krishna and maybe Syam Gopal was also there, it was clear to us that this program, which is so people intensive, needs to go with the time. There's a saying, if you don't go with the time, you will go in time. So the Pandava Sena mentorship system as a source of inspiration and nourishing and also enriching and engaging our congregation is first of all a very important people-centered program, and due to the nature of people-centered programs, it will require not just one reset but several resets. The image of reset is very clearly pronounced, or let me say transmitted to us from nature itself. In South America there is one particular species of eagles that is put before a choice when half of its life, that is 30 years, have passed. The choice is a very stark choice. Either the eagle resets its system, or it will only live 2 more years. This is altogether 37 years. Now, let me explain. When the eagle reaches this critical time, 35, sometimes it's earlier, sometimes it's a little later, it has grown talons which are too long, a beak which is too long, and also extra feathers that make it difficult for the eagle to continue flying and gliding in the sky. So those eagles who don't change anything, they will die, but the intelligent eagles, or I don't know if they are intelligent or if they just are strong and can respond to nature's calling, they go right into the mountains where they look at their feathers, and when they find there are too many feathers, they tear them out. They look at their talons, and if they find the talons are no longer operationally, they have to rub them against the rocks and just make them smaller. The same holds true for the beak. And then after 2 years or 3 years, they have done their work, and they can go back into the to the place where the other eagles are, and then do their thing, which eagles do. So in the same way as the eagles have to make a change and reset, stop everything and start anew, we with such a system as mentorship, which is has its dynamics, need to really look what if it serves us well, and then go back and reset to bring it to the next level. I was thinking if I could find something in the Bhagavatam about resetting, and the example of Maharaj Khatvanga came to mind. He was a very skillful fighter and undefeatable. So when the Devatas had yet again problems with the Asuras, they invited him, and he took up the invitation and fought for them. Now, at the end, they were victorious. The Devatas asked him for a boon, and Maharaj Khatvanga was intelligent and asked, "I only want to have one boon, one blessing. Please tell me how long I still have to live." And the Devatas then said, "You only have the duration of a moment." When the king was informed, I now read from Prabhupada's translation, that he had only one moment more, he immediately left the heavens and went to his own residence, where he engaged his mind fully on the lotus feet of the Lord. He left everything behind, the victory celebration, the comfort of the heavenly planets. He went back, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, by plane, which the Devatas provided, by a heavenly airplane. And he also left his palace on planet Earth. He was a king. And he started a new type of life, really. I wanted to read to you something. Yes. "Therefore," he said, "I should now give up my attachments for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage in thought of the Lord and should thus surrender unto Him. This material creation has been created by the external energy of the Lord. It is something like an imaginary town visualized on a hill or in a forest." An apparition, a hallucination. You think it's a town, but there's nothing of substance there it goes. He ends his contemplation. He says, every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things, but one must simply give up his attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I think here he gives us a principle in our hand. We have done things, or we do things in one way. Let's review it. Is it still helpful in reaching our goals? And then let us not be attached to one way of doing things, but be open to resetting, you know, starting anew with a new perspective and so on. There is a good example of resetting in the life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, which is less known, but it is really impactful. He had been preaching but he saw that his preaching was not successful. He was not listened to. There was one spiritualist of another idea, Ram Charandas Baba, who was a powerful mystic, really. He revived people from the death by chanting. He also developed charismatically, as it is done by these people, own methods which were not in tune with the pure teachings of Mahaprabhu. For instance, he developed this new mantra, Nitai Go Radhe Syam Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram. I'm not sure, I have not learned this mantra, but something like that. A concoction where there is rasa basa there. But he was extremely influential, and the point was Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur could not get listeners. Everyone went to Ram Charandas Baba. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, my method doesn't work. He went, as a conclusion, to Navadvip, and for 11 years, imagine, 11 years, he chanted three lakhs of holy name, and he read, and there I saw a picture of him. He was he had grown hair, and he was chanting, and there was rain coming, but instead of fixing the roof, he was so much fixed on his chanting and reading Bhagavatam that he simply took up an umbrella. Amazing. And during this time he ate only one time a day, and only as much as he could eat when he bowed down like this, and as he stayed down he would eat from the floor. Even you can't eat much when you are bending down, because it's a hard work to swallow it, you know, and bring it down to the stomach. Very renounced. He could understand, the way I'm preaching now is not successful. I need to totally step back, consider everything. And in his case, his conclusion was, let me gain spiritual strength. These are some examples from Shastra, from nature, you remember the eagle, and from the acharyas, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's own example of a reset, which always takes as its principle detachment, you know, readiness to step back, readiness to review, readiness to to make a serious investigation. What could work better? And as I said earlier, when you work with people and not with things, this needs to be done, because people change, maybe not the needs of the people change, but the way they express the needs or fulfill the needs definitely changes, not only in generations, but also in the lifetime of an individual. That is natural, and that is to be expected. So what this all means practically, we do need to take stock of what is going on, where we are successful, where we are have to come up with new things, and then make the appropriate changes. My dear devotees, I was once forced to do this in my own life. I had been practicing Krishna consciousness for maybe 20 years, and I decided to sit down and make a sincere inquiry, a sincere investigation of what had happened, where changes had happened, and where I needed to maybe take a new approach. And what I saw when I was open for honest inquiry, for open investigation, almost open heart surgery it was, is that although, yes, I had done service by Prabhupada's mercy, and yes, I had started several projects, and by that time published one book which went very good, at least for small men. There were 120,000 copies sold at that time. So when I looked in my heart, I could see, ooh, there are still some attachments, and if I was really honest, not so much taste in Krishna. And because I had joined our movement to become Krishna conscious, this was serious. It did not work for me, the process. So I made an investigation. I stopped everything. I went to Vrindavan, looked at the books of Srila Prabhupada, and found something which I had missed. That Krishna is present in the holy name, and if we can learn to chant without offenses, then we can associate Krishna in this most accessible form. And when we have Krishna in our heart, then the dark clouds of ignorance and everything which comes along with this, attachments and false ego and so on, it will go. So I, from that moment on, I started something new in my life. I understood I must chant, and I must learn to chant properly without offenses, and let me serve the holy name to share my discovery with others in the form of holy name retreats and so on and so forth. You know, I've published books and so on. But I, my dear devotees, if I would not have taken the courage to stop, to review and to explore my heart, I would most probably not have been able to come to a life which has brought me great inner satisfaction, great inner security, that yes, this process really works, it is really true what we hear in the Shastras and so on. I have done a few resets in my life, but this is most probably the most significant one. and which has made a complete improvement or change in my overall orientation. And so many things happened afterwards. So many devotees came to me, invited me for these projects. People gave, you know, so many. I got to know so many people. I learned to preach on a higher level than I had before. The Holy Name has given me so much from this. So, yes, my personal advice and what I request always others is to be a little bit like a painter who paints a picture. At one stage he says, okay, enough painting now, I must see if the proportions are correct, if the harmony is there, if there is enough expression in the picture. So what he will do, he steps back from the picture and looks from the distance. Let us look at this beautiful picture just behind me. I actually didn't plan it, but it's nice. This is, some of you have might ask who this divine personality is in the back. It's Vrindadevi. Huh? Vrindadevi with her parrots. You can, how do you do? Here on the branch you see many parrots, yes? Here you see some parrots. Here she feeds a parrot. She's the guardian, the threshold guardian of Vrindavan. So imagine I would have been the painter of this painting. I would have to step back and I would have had to make the changes. For instance, the painter told me originally he had put this branch, which you see here. No, you don't see it so well. Here it's better. You see it here better. He had painted, it's here a little blurry, but you can see this branch, no, where the parrots are. It was before Vrindadevi. But then Vrindadevi looked so far away, so not so accessible. So he decided when he had stepped back, oh, no, I must paint this detail new. And he put the branch behind Vrindadevi so that there is more the devotional impression here. The goddess of Vrindavan is here, ready for you. And when you chant your Tulsi prayers, Namo Nama Tulasi Krishna Prayasi Namo Namaha. She's there. She hears you. She's not keeping distance. That was the devotional idea which the painter could only see when he looked from the distance. So in resetting, this is the most important point. You need to be able to make a distance and take an honest stock. And I think you use in English the language, you take an honest inventory. This is an English word. I hope it is correct. What is there? What has happened so far? And where do we need to improve? But before you even do this, or simultaneously, you must be mindful of the purpose of the whole mentorship program. What do you wish to attain with this? I liked very much the presentation of the various slides and have requested Gaur Krishna to make photos so that I can go again through this, but they were really nice and complete, you know. But this was the how you do things. First you need to find out why, what is this all about, this mentorship? And it's really, I think you also mentioned it, I'm just dramatizing it to make my point, or making it actually it was there in your presentation. Why are we doing this, my dear devotees? Pandava Sena, please let us realize this. it does take a lot of attention. It takes also a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. But it is more precious than a gold mine. It brings people to Krishna consciousness and it nourishes them and makes them devotees. So a mentorship is just a system which helps the people's spiritual growth so that they can go to Krishna. This understanding, why am I doing this, is very, very important. It will help the mentors to not go dry or become overburdened with the nitty-gritty of daily mentorship life or weekly mentorship service. If you come always back to what is my North Star, the purpose, that which I follow in this life, then it is a very wonderful position to be a mentor and be helpful to people's spiritual growth. It is very, very, very important. So from there, I always ask devotees who I want to reset, you know, you have to do that as a spiritual guide. You very often tell the people who come to you and ask for sincere advice, I say, stop and look for your North Star, what is most important in your life. And very, very quickly, with a little guidance, the devotees and people who come for advice can understand and see, I lost that out of my sight. I was overwhelmed by the functional details, I was overwhelmed by the details to make the system functioning. But when they come back to the why, to their glowing yes, their glowing why, they get the strength and often the intelligence to adjust properly. So then the rest is very nicely presented. I was so happy. Whoever put this slideshow together, I guess it was Krishna Kirtan, not Krishna Chetra. Sorry, I'm a little tired. I lost so much preaching today. So it was Krishna Kirtan and his team. Very nice things, very nice orientations you have said, which helps us to put our why into practical situations. It's not enough to just have a good purpose. You need to create the circumstances so that it's favorable. For instance, I think many of us want to get up earlier. That is always in for devotees or practicing spiritualists. They know, if I could only get up earlier. But we constantly fail in doing this if we don't create the circumstances. That means if we don't go early enough to bed so that we are well rested at the time, the desired time, and then we can easily get out of bed. A good purpose alone is not sufficient. You have only limited willpower and to reach this. And the willpower exhausts itself. I heard willpower is almost like the water in a again, I need the English word. What do they... water in a watering can. You know, a garden watering can, they would have a pipe going here, and then they would have something with many holes. So you can only... you can pour the watering can with a... And there's many... individual water water streams are streaming out, but after some time, whoop, it's exhausted. The same with our willpower. When we hear, oh, do a little bit more, do a little bit more mentorship, do a little bit more service, do a little bit, and then everything will go. That's not right, because we have limited willpower, we human beings. But if we create the proper circumstances, then we can achieve very quickly very wonderful and impressive results. Now I have spoken about the need to reset. I gave you a few examples. Katvanga, Maharaj Katvanga, the eagle, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I gave my own example also, and I give you a few advices what to do. The most important is stepping back with a sense of detachment, that is from the Bhagavatam, and then making good circumstances for all our mentors. What I have observed is that the mentorship did excellent. Let us celebrate what the mentorship has done. So much has come out of this mentorship meetings. I think you all will agree with me. We have seen the mentorship meetings in Buckland, and we have seen so many inspiring presentations, and I want to mention here the tremendous work of our genius Navin Krishna Prabhu, who has brought the whole Pandava Sena projects into something which he called the Pandava Sena ecosystem. And one important aspect of it is the mentorship program. So many nice things have come out of it, so many initiatives, so many. We have reviewed things, we have fine-tuned them. Wonderful individuals came out of this. We have an amazing, let us say, an amazing program in our hands, which was entrusted to us. And I'm therefore very, very happy that you are reviewing it and fine-tuning it to the present time and circumstances. Circumstances have changed. I don't think only of COVID-19 and all the changes it brought. I mean, also people have changed, people's need have changed, and it's very, I want to say thank you for the team who takes now the steering of the mentorship in its hand. Let us not forget, my dear devotees, normal people run on money, devotees run on inspiration and care. Mm. Only inspiration and care. Not money. They don't get money from this, and it would also not inspire them to do this. I will end with a very nice little story about care. Maybe you have heard that in Christianity, the principle of care to other people is valued very high. They even think, I could never fully understand, although I was brought up in Christianity, but they think the other person might be Jesus, their worshipable guide. And when you take care of the other person, you take care somehow of Jesus. Please don't ask me how they think this is, how this works, but let us just respect the faith of other people. So caring is very important for them. Once there was a simple little nurse who was working with Mother Teresa in Calcutta. They have many programs. They became very world renowned for taking care of the dying people, the poor dying people. Poor means dead, you know, they were materially poor, and took them into their hospices and took care of their needs. But they extended their care to education, to supplying the slum inhabitants with medical care, etc., etc. So once a lady, I think she came from the circle of Lady D, the famous Lady D, previous the deceased wife of Prince Charles. One of these ladies came to these sisters and went for a whole day around Calcutta and you know, washing people's wounds and doing all this let me say field work in caring for the poor. And at the end she said to the sister, I'm sorry, I couldn't do this even if you would give me $1 million a day. And the answer of that little, simple Indian lady, sister, was very poignant. He said, neither could I. She was not motivated by money. She had a higher motivation. So we, so devotees who come to us are motivated by other things than worldly remuneration. And for that, the mentors, the mentors can give this inspiration which they want, motivation, and also care. Care is so important. Care, and so on. So therefore, I'm so enthusiastic that you continue with this program. I wish you all success. I'm. And I look for the time when we come together and talk as we have done, and dancing, important function of us, like we did in the Buckland Hall. And I know there are at present, Naveen Krishna Prabhu has informed me there are efforts to create such a place, to get such a place where we can do this and continue like this. I have said what I wanted to say. I will stay with you on the call. I'm very eager to see how what else we will have. I heard there are now videos will be shown, but I better give the microphone over to our Krishna Kirtan, our host. So, as we say in English, over to you, Krishna Kirtan.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Just making some notes, and very much like the story of where you had to have an open-hearted surgery investigation and reflect on where you were, where you wanted to go, and the steps that needed to change. And particularly like this quote you shared with us, that normal people run on money and the devotees run on inspiration and care. And through the efforts that the team are making, we're trying to make that easier access for the mentees to the mentors, and not let it just be a title that I'm a mentor. I've been around long enough. That's what I feel. I've just been around long enough, so I'm a mentor. But I want to try and start by changing myself, by making a perspective of that I want to start looking after people just because I've also been looked after by my seniors. So I want to try and repay that to others. So now we will present the date so everyone can put it in their calendar for the next mental training. It just got confirmed this morning. So it's Grace Gauranga Prabhu, who is GBC for Devotee Care. And again, we all love him. So if you put it down in your diaries, 4th of April, that's Easter Sunday, 10:30 a.m. will be giving us a presentation on self-care versus devotee care. How do we find the balance? How much can we give without getting
commuted?
And talking about the principle of compassion fatigue. So please join in. These are sessions are limited to registered PS mentors. We won't be sharing the recording, but we will be making notes of each session and sharing them out to the mentors and then to the devotee community. So please tune in for that. And then early June, we'll be having an interactive workshop with a coach who will be giving us practical tools and worksheets of how to help people overcome conflict and issues. So please put that in your diary. Now, we'll start off, we'll go on to a question and answer for about half an hour. And then we have a potentially a surprise. We have a musical band that would like to present something to the devotee community and to Maharaj. It's part of the alumni project. So we're just trying to see if it can work out. And that will be a nice musical end. Maharaj loves his kirtan, so hopefully we can present that to the group. So to put the Q&A into context, yes, there's been changes to the world that we live in through COVID-19, but there's also changes that go on a weekly basis, on every few years. So as Bhakti Tirtha Swami defines it, the dark night of the soul, when you're kind of feeling lost, abandoned, etc. That was in 2016 or 17. I went to Govardhan Eco Village, and with the help of Ghanshyam Priya's classes in America that he gave, I went through those exercises. And those were transformational for me. And a lot of it was about redefining stuff. What does success mean? What does income mean? What does relationships mean? What does marriage mean, etc.? So redefining stuff and actually doing that in a very, what did Maharaj use? Open-hearted manner, a deep, sincere investigation. You get a lot more clarity and the North Star starts becoming a lot more apparent. So thank you very much for giving that analogy, Maharaj, of the North Star, and also about the painter having to step back and recheck the perspective. So now we'll take questions. I'm not sure, Akash, how we want to do this. People can just unmute, or they...
Yeah, so they can unmute, or either they can send a question straight to you to read out.
I'll pass this section over to Akash, because I'm not so good at computers, so... Yeah, if anyone has any questions, this is your time.
Hare Krishna, dear Satyananda Swami Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for the talk. A question I have is, within ourselves, here we've got all the mentors. What qualities are very important for us to imbibe to help, you know, those that we are going to help, hopefully, and also to help evolve ourselves? What qualities should we be trying to go forward with?
Thank you. It was also nice to see you, Jagannath Kirtanananda Prabhu. We have not seen each other physically, so yes, what qualities? I have started something. No, let me approach it differently. You need to actually develop compassion, and in order to be compassionate, that means have compassion in action, you need to be emphatic. Emphatic means you need to actually understand the person's feelings. If you're very advanced, you can almost feel it, but you need to walk in the person's shoe and see what the other person sees and experiences what the other person experiences. Now you might say, justifyingly, well, I don't find in my heart these qualities. I'm not so much a people person. I'm a little withdrawn and by myself. But I want to surprise you, maybe even surprise you entirely. Qualities like compassion and empathy are within every one of us, and please listen now, they're not dependent on if you like someone or if you maybe find them a little difficult even. It is something which lies deep within every single human being, but it cannot be expressed. Let me rephrase it. You cannot access this quality when you are under stress. When you are under stress, you are very much concerned with your own survival, with your own betterment. Therefore, this is very important, my dear devotees. Compassion is there within everyone. Even a gangster but he has some personal disorder, so he's also violent. But it is there within everyone. That is what I want to say. But under stress, you can't access it. Stress is just rolls boulders and rocks before the door of compassion, which is so important for a mentor. He needs to feel, well, here's someone who came for my help. I want to help it. That is what the person feels, your love or your willingness to help, your interest to help. So therefore, my dear mentors, to be in a position where you can give counsel, when you can help others, it's very good if you reconsider the tree of life for your own life. The tree of life is a model which is there to have a stable life, a robust mental health. The tree of life model is not something which Satchinanda Swami, I've thought of a nice analogy, a tree, but comes from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who says we must have four kinds of well-being: spiritual well-being, physical well-being, emotional well-being, and then social well-being. You know, that we must be spiritually nourished, we must be physically and emotionally stable and satisfied, and then only we can be there for others. Otherwise, it does not work. And you will see, you may be a nominated mentor, but when you have to have your mentee meetings, or you have to pick up your telephone call, or do a Zoom conference, you might think, oh no, another stress. Oh, I'm already so stressed out. I don't have time, and maybe I guess I should do it. But the quality is not so good. The quality is not so good. This is a very important quality. Just as a mentor, you need to be compassionate and you need to have compassion, and in order to act compassionately, you have to be emphatic, you know, walk in the person's moccasins, so to say, and experience life through their eyes and feelings. But you can only do this if you're not stressed out. And let us call the problem in London. There is so much stress. Ooh. Just to put the toe into London means, ooh, you feel the stress vibration. London, and I know you are from Birmingham. Nowadays, our society is ridden by anxiety, by stress. Things become difficult. And to break the stress circle, I can only say, go at a reasonable time to bed. Of course, there are times when you just want to be with your friends and you talk until 3 o'clock in the morning. No problem. These are exceptional things. We are human beings after all. But in general, go at a reasonable time to bed. Find your rest so that your spiritual root program is not just a dream, but it is an experienced reality. You're fired up because of your spiritual program, and then you can develop, then you have access to compassion, empathy, and so on. This is what I think is the main quality. And please, Jagannath Kirtananda Prabhu, I do know all of you. I've met you, as Krishna Kirtan said so nicely. We have, I think, we have a time of 10 years together, no? I have been in with you. I have visited some of you in your living rooms. I have a picture of your situations, and you have to get the stress factor out of your life and the tree of life factor into your life, and then it's easy to be compassionate because you have already so many good things. Let us also say something in glorification. It's nice that we are a community. I've in the past sometimes smiled and laughed. Oh, everyone seems to be a Patel here. Not by name, but by Gujarati roots. But that's good. We understand each other. There is a natural, already natural connection from which we can do great things and very easily, and invite so many other communities also, because they feel, wow, these people have such nice relationships amongst each other. Let me join. Yes, but coming back, main quality, compassion, or I would say it's not something to develop. It's already there, and you need to have a healthy life. Tree of life is one expression for it. I found also the tree of life models in our scriptures, and I want to get the quotes out, but let me just say this one thing. The Upanishads are very clear. On the tree of the body, there are two birds. No, you have heard all this. No, it's a very traditional model. Yeah. So this is my answer. Thank you. And it was nice to see you again.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. So we have a couple of more questions here. So
yes.
Nitai Kirtan Prabhu is asking, when we do a reset, how do we actually go about doing it? What questions should we ask, or what do we do specifically in order to reflect on?
Thank you very much. Nitai Kirtan, I don't see you at the moment, but I know who you are. It's no, if it's difficult, no problem. A reset is usually done if you understand something doesn't work so well. I know this. I've given now a lot of online presentations, and sometimes there are computer problems, and then Gokrishna presses the buttons, and we sometimes have to reset or restart also the computer because something got tangled inside, the poor thing got confused, and so on. And reset or restarting something is done when you have seen that there is a problem. And you feel usually if there is a problem. You feel unpleasant in your life. You feel not so happy any longer. You think something is wrong here. Something doesn't go as well as it could or as it used to be. At that time, we can ignore this this feeling and say everything is fine, everything is fine. You know, like the normal greeting, you meet someone, how are you? And they say, fine, fine, fine. And you know, you're not fine. You have rings under your eyes. And I heard you have difficulties at home. You throw, anyways, no need of a drastic example here. So this is important, honest inquiry. And when you feel, boof, it's time to reset or restart. What is not right? What could be right? Make an honest investigation. This is the most important quality. I like Katvanga's example. You know, he was successful, but he could understand when he asked this question, tell me how long I have to live, that something in his spiritual life was not where it should be. So he got his time, only a moment. You know, that moment is relative. The answer was given in the higher planetary systems, but I don't know how much time he had on planet Earth. I mean, what we know is he could come back to planet Earth from the heavenly planets, and he had time to fix his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and really focus on what he needed to do, really. So in tradition, in our tradition, Nitai Kirtan, this is usually done every 14 days or every Ekadasi. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I once read in one of his many books, he said that at Ekadasi we should make an assessment of our spiritual life and of our life in general, and then we get a good overview. See, the date to do it at an Ekadasi date was very wisely chosen. Why? Because on Ekadasi, traditionally living Vaishnava has more time for spiritual practice. He puts more time aside for spiritual practice. That's why, there's another reason why we don't eat so opulently. But yes, an Ekadasi, that is their understanding in traditional life. Now, we as a movement may not do many more spiritual practices on Ekadasi because our life has already so much seva. We do already so many good things. And so on. But the idea to have regularly a time where you stop and sit down is very nice. I like the model of Krishna Kirtan, and I have seen Krishna Kirtan over the years. I have had regular exchange with him in the past, more than now. But he did something which I thought was wise. He went on pilgrimage to a place, an eco-village, because there was more spiritual activity and he had his head more free. And then he could see where to make the appropriate changes in his life and start anew. If you want to reset, my dear devotees, you need a little bit a situation where you have your head free and where you are also on a little higher level than you usually are by sangha, good sangha or good good spiritual practice and so on, because then you can see. We all know when we are in tamagun, which can happen when we, you know, then we can't see and we are a little bewildered. And when we are in rajagun, so many things to do, we are in full stress, we also can't see beyond the duties which are just ahead of us and need our attention. Only when we slow down into sattva is our consciousness transparent enough so that we can see clearly what we have overlooked so far. So when you want to reset, the second principle is to come in an environment where your consciousness is more able to see what you cannot see, what makes you confused like this. I will tell you, we have so many wonderful projects now, but on Sunday I will go with my team, part of my team, to very nice grihastas, very nice devotees who live at a different place. We want to change the place and we want to discuss where we go from now, because we have so many opportunities that it's sometimes confusing, and we need to have a clear vision really to see these opportunities and say, okay, this is priority, this comes second place, and this may be, we do maybe later when there is time. So clarity to see is another important thing. If you want to see also something which you have not yet seen, it's always good to call in advice by brahmanas, by also experts in the field. I do know that we felt we needed to reset ISKCON and make it into an educational institution beyond all the other things, seva and missionary thing. And this was an idea which took hold in Akhandadi Prabhu's mind, whom you know, I think, and have heard about. And he said, if we just create more and more devotees, but we don't train them and we don't give them the skills to live their life, oof, we lose them. So then he got the idea, it was called Vaishnava Training and Education. And we used to meet regularly, maybe twice a month. No, I'm wrong. Every 2 months, I wanted to say, or every 3 months, I forgot now. And there were very notable names of our Vaishnavas. In there was, Krishna Chaitra Maharaj took part. Rasa Mandala, who's a very structured thinker, took part. Shonaka Rishi took part. And various Swamis, I know Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj, and so on, were part of the initiative. And then at one stage, it was not clear to us how should we educate, really, devotees. Because many of us, except for Krishna Chaitra Maharaj, were not so good in education. You know, they had maybe run away. Some of us had even left school early or did not go to the university and so on. So we understood we need external help. And then we took many times, there was the father-in-law of Shonaka Rishi. His name, I can remember for you, Sefton Davis, a very good-hearted man. He has left his body by now. And he was training the university teachers, and he then trained several of us and This was taken up by Vaishnavas like Rasa Mandal, and they developed training programs for ISKCON, specific for ISKCON, with ISKCON's specific needs. So external, to call in external help, first you try with the brahmanas, which you know, which you have. What you do need, though, is a body of devotees in Pandava Sena who can take all these inputs which come from everywhere and just put it down. Therefore, I like very much that you have, I understood you have resources where we can go. There's a web page and we can learn various things which are compact there for our specific use. That's very important, because otherwise you go to course after course after course, and in the end you're more bewildered than before. So some of us who have that ability to get that all this knowledge which into the funnel system, and then at the end you have the workable extract, which is very practical for us, is good. And I see you doing that. When Krishna Kirtan presented it, many things are really developed and so on. Yeah, fine. These are some answers which come to mind. I better stop here to see if there are other questions, or we have to see where we are with our time. Yes?
Maharaj, thank you very much. So the next question is, what do we do when our willpower is low?
You have such wonderful questions, such deep, honest questions. What do we do when our willpower is low? I have really thought about this. I can give you my take on it, but this is a good question to park, because this is maybe one of the deciding questions for the well-being of function, well-functioning of our mentorship program. Those who have studied this by, you know, very many by studies, they have found out from that this is a very natural phenomena for all of us human beings. You don't need to be ashamed of it. There are various things you can do. One thing is very much known in our circuits. You can find out how you can increase your inspiration so that when you're inspired, everything flows over and you have a lot of more energy than if you are not inspired. I will not talk about this because you are older devotees and you know sources of inspirations already. But let me just name them. Sadhana is one, Sangha is one, and also philosophical conviction, you know, which comes when you read and deeply think about something, is one. These are known things, and therefore I will not dwell on these items now. You know, sometimes, my dear devotees, you do need to have a little pause. Your willpower may be so low at the moment because you're just plain exhausted. And this is a great, great phenomena amongst devotees. They're so good-hearted, they give their everything. In much of the service which I do is one-on-one counseling. And I have seen sometimes devotees begin to cry before me, and not just Mataji's. Mataji's is natural. They are more, have more, are more emotional. And I can see they are so exhausted. I sometimes think, maybe you should just go to bed for, let me speak when you come after, your medicine is 12 hours of sleep now. And some of us who are not so young any longer, that's not enough, because you can't cure the sleep deficit. So you need to be physically okay, then the willpower is okay. You will be surprised. It's almost how much physical well-being is connected to emotional well-being. Therefore, it appears in the Tree of Life as the stem, you know, the trunk of the Tree of Life. Two things, physical and emotional well-being, are the stem, or what do you say, trunk of the Tree of Life. There are three things which you can do, which are good in the Vaishnava worlds. One is, you just need to have a normal physical well-being. I'm not speaking of big muscles here or of extraordinary fitness. I mean just normal, that you are not sleep deprived and that you are fit. Next point, you need to have a clear focus in your life, something which inspires you, a focus. And the next thing is, you need to stop negative self-talk and replace it with spiritual talk in your mind. Our mind is a big, big saboteur is a French word. Is that, I'm looking to Gokrishna, do you know what is saboteur? No, so it's not a good word. It does what is called sabotage. Sabotage is an English word, good. So it sabotages us, the mind, and the willpower. And that is because there maybe you need to have a good talk, which maybe you feel hurt or emotionally not enough, not in your place. You may have to go to a mentor yourself and so on. So that is good for the willpower, no? Spiritual inspiration first and foremost. I'm not undermining it. I just want to say things which you do not know already. My dear devotees, I know you don't believe me. I know you are young, and I know you think the body is Maya, but you need the cooperation of the body and the mind. You do not know. You do not need that it sabotages you. Therefore, take care of it in the spirit of Yukta Vairagya, to use it to attain your higher goal. Prabhupada said this in Tehran. It's not that because we are the body, we neglect the body. No. And then he said, the body is like a tree, and we want to have the fruits of self-realization from it. He talked like this. I know this because I had to research this. So, yes, willpower is good when you are strong. Then, focus. Find your true North Star. Focus on it. And then replace negative self-talk with a proper talk. And that might come if you have a good heart-to-heart discussion with a friend. Usually, in a good discussion with a friend or spiritual mentor or senior Vaishnavas or younger Vaishnavas, he doesn't have to be senior, but someone who can help, pop, he sets you straight, and then you have again access to your willpower. All of you have enough willpower to change the whole world but you don't come to it if you, because there are so many things in between, and some of it are, you know, the mental patterns which limit us and so on. Prabhupada would say to us, think big. But when there is this, so I feel, no, I'm a small person, I'm a useless person. You can't move on. Limited willpower. And sometimes you need to reset, my dear devotees. I can tell you, I do this every year. I have 1 month of reset at the month of Kartik. And when I come out of this month, where I chant extra rounds, read, and just reset myself, I'm so enthusiastic. It's almost difficult for me to go through a door without tearing the door down from all this enthusiasm and so on. This I have learned in my life. You may not need a whole month. You may just need an Ekadasi or any other time. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. I think some of us need a whole lifetime to reset. there's a joint question, so I'll just combine them together. So this individual says, thank you very much for speaking so nicely about the priority and the duty of caring for others. How can we as mentors care, but at the same time encourage /push our mentees to take their spiritual lives more seriously? And the second part of that, Maharaj, is how do we give based on the devotees' needs as opposed to what we think they need? And this will be the final question, and then we've got a surprise for from alumni.
Yeah. Krishna Kirtan, may I ask, the first part of the question was clear to me. How can we push or motivate our mentees to take care more of their sadhana and maybe also service? And but the second part of the question, can you say it again?
Sure, Maharaj. How do we give based on the devotee's needs as opposed to what we think they need? Us taking ourselves out of the equation and just being the instrument.
Yes, I'm just writing it down so that I give a pointed answer. So on the first question, how I like to replace the word push with the word motivate our mentees to engage more in the sadhana and the service. I can only draw here on the experience. This is obviously the main question for an itinerant preacher. Every preacher has to ask himself this question. When I sit down and give a lecture in the temple or in the, you know, wherever I go, even to non-devotees, how can I motivate them that they take this, take more to spiritual practice? Because everything will come. You become what you practice, really. You become what you practice. This is so simple and so true. And therefore, as mentors, we have to really think about this. There need to be three things in place when you give a when you want to motivate. You first give them a framework. For that we have the philosophy from which we draw. We give a theoretical framework, a theoretical explanation. We say, if you take your chanting serious, you purify your heart, and a purified heart makes decisions and has also the strength to go the spiritual way and spiritual development and other things you say, whatever is appropriate. The next thing is you definitely have to give them an example. You can either talk about, and this has to be real, about devotees or people who have taken this sadhana serious or their spiritual practice and have excelled by this. I like to do this more than talking about my own self, because it doesn't feel right as a mentor, as a preacher, if you say, I did this and this happened. Sometimes in rare cases you give your own example. This is why Gop Kumar talked about his own story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita to this one Brahmana who still needed to know one thing. This is was a discussion between some of the god brothers of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. He was in the beginning shy to write his own life down in the journey home, but he then did it because he was convinced that sometimes one's own example speaks very loud. So you have to see. But you, whatever it is, your own example or the example of other people, you need to give them the example of persons, devotees, any who has done sadhana and has made very wonderful examples. Of course, you shouldn't speak like a dry stick. You should also have some experience, but yes, examples, something which makes it concrete, and so on. And then, of course, it helps a lot to have events. And I know this is so difficult now because of the lockdown, but when you have a festival where devotees can chant, where they can exchange with others, then a new type of enthusiasm and determination is often born. We often hear this after festivals, that the devotees report back and said, wow, now it's much, much easier. The last thing I want to say is, please listen carefully, because you have not, I think we have not considered this. You need to find within the Vaishnava sadhana something which is just right for that person. For that you need to inform yourself a little bit. I had just a person whom I counsel, and for him to chant as a regular sadhana every day for 3 minutes the Nrisimha mantra worked wonders. I'm so happy that Krishna gave me this idea. It worked wonders. He has changed everything in his life, and it seems to be permanent, because he has done this already for 3 months, and he reported back to me just yesterday after 3 months had been completed. So you need to find, I mean, one shoe doesn't fit all. This is the experience. One shoe doesn't fit all. I'm not speaking about, you know, everyone needs to chant, because chanting is the yoga dharma. But how do they chant? What do you advise them to make it easy for them? That you have to learn, my dear devotees. You have to explore what is available there. My dear devotees, I have to give japa retreats and I had to figure out that most of the people who come to japa retreats cannot chant 16 rounds. I learned this. They come because they hope, okay, we go to this Japa retreat and then we will fly in the sky of Japa and all our Japa problems will be solved. That's how they come. Oh, whew. Then I needed to find out simple ways how to give advice to my audience so that they would be able to correct this problem for them that they couldn't chant. So, good. Motivate. You need to motivate people. Pushing works for a little time, but motivation works for a long time. And for that, my dear devotees, pray to Krishna. I always, when there are difficult things, I pray to Krishna and say to Krishna, please, I do not know that now what I should, what is the solution here. Please, you sit in the heart. If you wish, please give me the right inspiration that we can do this. Mm-hmm. Then, the second question was, how can we learn to give advice according to the need of the devotees, the actual need of the devotees, and not according to what we think they need? You need to listen to the person first. A good counselor listens twice and speaks once. Because you really want to be sure that you understand the situation. Have you ever been in lectures where the lecturer is so fired up and he doesn't even understand the question and he gives an answer well-intentioned? Lecturer G, we worship you, no problem. But he gives an answer. It's way above the head. I have done this many times. And then you asked, did I answer your question? So in England, everyone gives a polite yes. And then when they say yes, I know it's a no. You have to translate the English language into reality. And then I say, oh, could you please repeat your question again? If I'm very honest, I was not listening very careful. I think you all, I'm the one who gives a lot of lectures. And I have found out this is a real problem with enthusiastic swamis. First and foremost, my own problem. And I have to learn. Listen twice, answer once. Listen twice and counsel once. It's very important. Otherwise, if you give an answer and boom, it goes, it is not addressing the actual need, but what you think is the need, people will lose their faith in you. They will not come to you any longer. They will say, oh, when I came to you, this didn't really work, and so on. My dear devotees, who are mentors, to save yourself a lot of dislikes on your... I think, is there dislike on your Facebook? No. Is there? Thumbs down. I don't know. I'm not so much a computer man. But to save yourself from a lot of dislikes, believe me, I've gone through this. Listen twice, answer once. It is so important. That's, I think, the... And then if you can listen with empathy, look this word up in the Google. What is empathy? It's maybe something else than you think you are. You need to be able to understand the person and the person's feelings and see things through their eyes. It's not so easy to do this. It's not so easy. I'm so happy. I have a servant who is younger than me and an age, and I have learned a lot to just see through his eyes, because there's a generation gap. I could almost be the father of my I had to learn also, when talking to the Pandava Senas, I had to learn so much. It's a different generation usually, and to really answer them, you have to not just listen, you have to understand what does a young boy or young girl feel, you know, what is moving them and so on. And then you can, only then you can give. That's not just listen twice, but also listen with empathy, you know, go in their shoes. And then you can do this. It was a genuine joy to be with you. Time is also there. So we will conclude the session like Krishna Kirtan announced. And we will now go to the next session. Over to you, Krishna Kirtan. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mark.